copyright forum of Christian leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
A lot of times you get on an airplane and you get there and you say, now where have I been and where am I going? Have you had that experience? So like, I've been so intense on what I've been doing here, it's difficult to remember almost where I've been and where I'm going. That's been my life for 30 years with an average of 150 airplane rides a year for 30 years or so. It's sort of a pacey life. And what I've had to come up with is tools that let me keep the big picture. First of all, get the big picture quickly, and then keep it and be able to bring it back quickly. So that on that airplane, I get on there and I say, oh, where am I again? And I can quickly look at a piece of paper and it's clear to me where I'm going again. This morning, I'd like to share with you the two tools that I've used to sort of keep that big picture clear in my mind. You all probably are generally aware of the name Bill Clinton. He was the President of the United States for a period of years. And he had a reputation that his executive team, interviewed on a Sunday morning on all the talk shows, were all saying exactly the same thing on issues that happened just Wednesday. It was like, people kept asking, how did they get the whole team to be doing the party line so fast? Here's the key to it. What they would do is on Thursday, they would bring their team together, draw a triangle, and say, what are the 10 issues that we will probably be asked about this weekend, and what are the three key points we want to make on each of the key subjects, and then they would give them a paragraph that said the talking points for that. And when you heard any of them, they would all be saying basically the same thing on any one subject. I thought, you know, that makes sense. I think I'm going to try that. When I heard that the first time, I thought, I'm going to try that. I had a free morning, so I took the whole morning out by the pool. And I took 75 subjects I was trying to think through, and I thought through 75 subjects using the triangle. You know what? Every single subject happened fast. It's like, try it. You will be shocked at how fast it happens. But once I got the 75 done, I began to see another pattern. And that is, I've heard... they're leaving already. Why are they leaving already? I've heard pastors say forever a three-point sermon. You know what? There is no such thing as a three-point sermon. There's a one-point sermon with two supplements. Let me show you. What I began to see was, if you take that triangle, which is an inert geometric shape, you simply turn it on its end, you get a very dynamic arrow. Then you put the arrow shaft back here, which is what gives the arrow penetrating power. You draw it like this a little bit, like these are sharp razor edges of the arrow. And then I drew out here a target. And after doing it 75 times, I realized that the target was always one of two things. Either it was a question I was trying to answer or form up or ask the group or something like that. It was either a question I was asking or a statement I wanted to make. And that statement was primarily the single greatest benefit of what I was talking on. So then I started going back through this and saying, all right, what is my number one point here? Well, sometimes it was the first thing I thought of, sometimes it was the second thing I thought of, sometimes it was the third thing I thought of. But once you see those three points, it will be extremely obvious to you which one's number one. Now, before I go any further, let's take 1 minute, take any subject you're trying to think through at the moment. It's sort of foggy in your head. You're not quite sure how to approach the subject. You're writing a paper, you're giving a talk, you're giving a sermon on Sunday. You're thinking something through. Don't start with the arrow, start with the triangle. Just draw a triangle there. And then on that subject, I'm going to give you 1 minute to think through what are the three main points. And the artificial time parameter focuses your thinking at a level that it won't do if you give yourself an hour to think it through. I'm going to count time to let you see how fast it works starting now. I'll count every 15 seconds. So just put the three points down to what you're going to give a talk on or write on or whatever. 1 minute. Now, what I'll suggest to you is that if I gave you an hour, you'd come up with the same three points. So now what you do is you draw the arrow and you ask yourself, of the three points I just came up with, which is really the number one point? Which is really, if I could only make one point, what would it be? It'll be real obvious real quickly. That becomes the shaft of your arrow. That is what gives you the weight of your argument or of your presentation or of your talk or of your book or of your chapter. Then the other two, ask yourself, what's number two? If I could only have two, that goes on the top, and then number three goes on the bottom. And then you ask yourself, what is the main benefit? What is the main question? So now take your talk and say, if the people get what I am saying, if they listen to me, what's their number one benefit in one word? What is it on your talk? That gives you a four-word focus. You've got a word here, a word here, a word here, and a word here. Four words give you your talk. I'll give you an example now. I'm going to introduce to you a concept to keep the big picture, like I was talking about, called the North Star. But to introduce the North Star, I will give you the four-word or four-concept focus. Okay? I'll tell you how or what the important things I want to say about the North Star are. And they are in your outline. Okay? The main benefit is clear direction. In other words, the main benefit of the North Star is clear direction. Direction always precedes success. Unless you're clear on your direction, you won't be successful. Direction is not measurable. Direction is like the North Star. It's like you're headed north, but you never arrive there. And what I'm trying to give you with your North Star is a North Star for life. So that 30 years from now, you're still headed in that direction. It isn't a place you arrive. It's a direction you're headed. Okay? Gives you clear direction. The second point, the shaft of the arrow here, is lifelong confidence. Confidence is always a byproduct of predictability in all cases. Socially, sexually, financially, spiritually, in every single way, confidence is a byproduct of predictability in every aspect of your life. What clear direction gives you is it is a predictability that when I wake up in the morning, here's where I'm headed. That's what your North Star will give you. You always know which way is north. When you come off the airplane and say, where am I, who am I, where am I going next? You can look at that and say, oh, here's where I'm going. When your confidence falters, by the way, when you get to the point, and leaders, I know you're all leaders, but your confidence will falter occasionally. When you feel like I'm not as confident as I want to be, do not try to pump up your confidence. Don't try to say, I'm confident, I'm going to be confident, I can be confident. No. Ask, where has my predictability eroded? What in my life is not as predictable as it was a month ago? Restore that predictability, your confidence comes back as an automatic byproduct. I'm going to move through the outline fairly quickly. And then C, up here, it's a lifelong tool. This star is a lifelong tool. The North Star is a lifelong tool that will give you a clear context for life. Nothing is meaningful without a context. The more context you have, the more meaning you have, typically. The less context, the less meaning. But nothing is meaningful without a context. What this does is give you a context for every major decision you ever make in your lifetime. It's like every map you try to follow, you know which way north is. It's like it's that consistent a context for you for making certain directional changes in your life. And then down here, it reduces stress. When you have no clear context, you have no clear North Star, and they say, do you want to go north, south, east, or west? You say, I can't decide. I don't know because I don't know where I'm going. Clearly knowing where you're going reduces stress dramatically. It helps you make decisions much quicker in your life. That introduces this concept, the North Star. Now, the North Star has 5 points. Point one is God. You may say, well, isn't that a given? I say, well, sort of. God doesn't change, but our perceptions of Him, in fact, do. Do you look at God exactly the same way you did today as you did 10 years ago? Not exactly. Our perceptions mature as we mature in our faith. The question is, how do you see God today? You're coming off an airplane saying, who am I, where am I, where's life going, things are going at too fast a pace, I've sort of lost perspective on who I am, where I'm going, what next, etc. The first thing you look at is God. What is God saying to me? Is this still the way I see God? God is here, even in the middle of what I just came out of. As painful as that was, God was in that. There's a lesson to be learned there. And what I'm about to go into next week, God will be there as well. That's a part of perspective you never, ever, ever, ever want to lose. The second, this is a who question. Who do I orient my life around? God or me? That's the basic choices we have. The next question is a why question. Why is basically your purpose or your mission? Your purpose statement or your mission statement? Looking at it from a personal perspective, not from an organizational perspective this morning, why do you feel God leaves you on earth? If you're a believer, why doesn't He just take you to heaven? Why are you still here? The third thing is not a who question or a why question, it is a what question. What difference do I hope to make sometime before I die? What difference do I hope to make sometime before I die? That is your dream or your vision. I've worked in management, leadership and management for 30-some years now, and I still cannot distinguish between purpose and mission. To me, they're interchangeable words. I still cannot distinguish between dream and vision. They're interchangeable words. depending on the context, the organization, you can use whichever word you want. But once you know why you're here, what do you plan to do about it? And that's the difference you want to make sometime before you die. What gets you out of bed every single morning is the difference you're hoping to make sometime before you die. And when you get off one airplane and onto the other, you want to remember in that brief moment of clarity what you're trying to get done. So that you think, did I make any progress last week, and am I going to make any progress next week? It's like when you come out of the mental fog, it clears it up for you quickly to say, okay, here's the big picture on my life. What can I do this next week to make progress in that direction? Okay, you've got 1 minute to answer this question. If you could only accomplish three measurable things outside your family, because if you have three children, you say have them all grow up, serve the Lord, get married, have children, happy, happy, happy. Your options are done, right? Just name three kids. But outside your children, if you could only accomplish three things that when you get to the door of heaven, you go check, 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 got them all done, ready to go. You can only accomplish three things sometime before you die, which may be 50 or 70 years from now for some of you. If the Lord doesn't come back, what three things would you do? The fourth question is how. How will I make that difference right there? This is a concept that a lot of leaders in their young 40s find an absolute aha breakthrough. I have a lot of people in their late 30s, early 40s come to me and say, Bob, I'm just sort of wrestling with my career, my job, my work, my occupation, my profession. I say, let me stop you right there. Let me give you a new word that may be unfamiliar to you. What I think your instincts are seeking is a word called life work. What you're trying to figure out is, what could I see myself doing for the rest of my life? Not just another job, not just a career change, not just a positional change, but what is God called me to do for the rest of my life? What's my life work? That's here. That's how. How you'll make this difference is through that life work. Okay? Let me give you 1 minute to reflect on what could you see yourself, and maybe if you're in your young 30s, it's maybe too early to do it, but maybe not. Ask yourself, if I could see myself doing something for the rest of my life that's worthy of 30 years of activity in a given direction, I could give my whole life to serving God in this way. What are your thoughts? What would it be? You want to get in mind, begin narrowing from, there are four or five things I could do, to, it isn't what you can do that you're looking for, because you could do 50 things. What you're doing as you grow in your maturing process is reduce the focus to the point that you're asking, what would maximize the me that God has been in the process of developing? That's your life work. What maximizes your unique strength? You ask yourself, of all the things I do well, what do I do best? That's your single greatest strength. That's what you're trying to maximize for 30 years. Then the last question is a how long question. This is the legacy question. Most people, I think unconsciously, at least in America, unconsciously assume that my birth was the bookend of history and my death is the other bookend of history. And all history happens while I'm here. In Europe, you get a feeling like, no, a lot of history happened before I got here and a lot of history will happen after I'm gone. But I'm saying, your life isn't the bookends of history. What happens to what you do after you're gone? And the reality is, you can have wonderful, splendid plans for what you want to do in the next 50 years. Here's an unfortunate reality, in a sense. No one promises you tomorrow. No one promises you tomorrow. So what you're doing is you're living your whole life in the delicate balance of, if I had 20, 30, 40 years to live, what would I do? And what if I were gone tomorrow? What would happen to what I've done? That's the balance you're having to keep. But what you want to ask yourself is what I'm doing now going to last beyond me? How can I get it to go beyond me? It isn't that you want to sparkle while you're here and when you're gone, the light's gone. It's like, how can you get it to move beyond you? And I would ask you this one question. One of the questions I ask, in our, by the way, I have a free internet thing I do two or three times a month called Quick Wisdom. You can sign up for it. It's free. Quickwisdom.com. And one of the questions I asked on Quick Wisdom was, if you had just 12 months to live, and you knew you had only 12 months to live, what 10 things would you do that would make the most difference 100 years from now? I would suggest you just write that in here. You write 1, 10, 100. In other words, if I had 1 year to live, what are the 10 things I would do to make the most difference 100 years from now? And look at everything you're doing and say, what has the possibility of being transferable generation to generation, and really concentrate on some of those things so that your legacy doesn't end with the bookend of your death. Now you've been introduced to the North Star and what I call the focus arrow to sort of how to get your focused thinking quickly on a subject, illustrated how to do that here.